Good evening. Merry Christmas. It's good to see everybody out tonight, and the group has done a good job of making things look pretty, haven't they? Very fitting. I want to talk to you just a moment about the cross, because the cross and the manger, we have both of them on display here, and really they go together, because Jesus came into the world, and he was found in a manger, but he grew, became a man, and in becoming a man, he went about teaching, preaching, performing miracles, just being the Lord, doing things that the Lord does, and he gathered many people to himself. But one day, he went to the cross. And of course, we know that's why he came, was to go to the cross. And in going to the cross, he shed his precious blood for us. In the scriptures, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. So when he shed his precious blood, he fulfilled all of those Old Testament sacrifices that had been done every year. The people of God every year would observe those sacrifices. But when he went to the cross and shed his precious blood, he fulfilled all things. And he said, "It is finished." And of course, what was finished was redemption's plan. He had fulfilled everything. So tonight we come to celebrate his first advent, but also keep in mind he went to the cross. And more importantly, or just as important, he arose on the third day. And because of that, we can come to him and claim him as Savior and Lord, and we can be redeemed, we can be set free, and we can come together at times like this and celebrate the fact that we have life, and it is eternal life. Join me in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the eternal plan that you laid out, the plan for your people to be able to come to you and be redeemed, the plan that was set forth so that you could call a people unto yourself and send them out to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Tonight we come to you on this Christmas Eve, and we're celebrating the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that you've done, but most of all, we thank you for dying on the cross and setting us free. And as we go through this service tonight, we just pray that we'll see that light that you are, because you are the light. And the darkness does not overcome it. So we thank you for the truth of God's word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. As we continue, I want to ask you, let's stand together. You see the words up on the screen. Let's sing tonight, "Joy to the World."
And heaven and nature. sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. Wonders of his love.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, Merry Christmas. We want to invite our children, if you're elementary school or younger, if you want to come down, and we're going to read a Christmas story together. So kids, come on down. Yeah. Tonight we'll be reading from the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's written by Sally Lloyd Jones. And parents, if you are not sure what to read with your children at night, especially your younger children, this is a wonderful Christ-centered, illustrated Bible retelling. All right, good job. All right, so this is from Luke 1 and 2, and it's called He's Here. All right. It says, everything was ready. The moment God had been waiting for was here at last. God was coming to help his people just as he promised in the beginning. But how would he come? What would he be like? What would he do? Mountains would have bowed down, seas would have roared, trees would have clapped their hands, but the earth held its breath. As silent as snow falling, he came in. And when no one was looking, in the darkness he came. There was a young girl who was engaged to a man named Joseph. Joseph was the great, 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 great grandson of King David. One morning, this girl was minding her own business when suddenly a great warrior of light appeared right there in her bedroom. He was Gabriel, and he was an angel, a special messenger from heaven. When she saw the tall, shining man standing there, Mary was frightened. "You don't need to be scared," Gabriel said. "God is very happy with you." Mary looked around to see if perhaps he was talking to someone else. "Mary," Gabriel said. And he laughed, such a glad laugh, that Mary's eyes filled with sudden tears. "Mary, you're going to have a baby, a little boy. You will call him Jesus. He is God's own son. The God who flung planets into space and kept them whirl around and round. The God who made the universe with just a word. The one who could do anything at all was making himself small and coming down as a baby." Wait, God was coming as a baby to rescue the world? "But it is too wonderful," Mary said, and felt her heart beating hard. "How can it be true?" "Is anything too wonderful for God?" Gabriel asked. So Mary trusted God more than what her eyes could see, and she believed. "I can be God's servant," she said. "Whatever God says, I will do." Sure enough, it was just as the angel had said. 9 months later, Mary was almost ready to have her baby. Now, Mary and Joseph had to take a trip to Bethlehem, the town King David was from. But when they reached the little town, they found every room was full. Every bed was taken. "Go away," the innkeeper told them. "There isn't any place for you." Where would they stay? Soon Mary's baby would come. They couldn't find anywhere except an old, tumble-down stable. So they stayed where the cows and the donkeys and the horses stayed. And there, in the stable, amongst the chickens and the donkeys and the cows, in the quiet of the night, God gave the world his wonderful gift. The baby that would change the world was born, his baby son. Mary and Joseph wrapped him up to keep him warm. They made a soft bed of straw and used the animal's feeding trough as his cradle. And they gazed in wonder at God's great gift, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Mary and Joseph named him Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God has come to live with us, because, of course, he had. Good job, guys. All right, you can go back and sit with your parents.
And we want to encourage you too, tomorrow, if you have children at home, read them the Christmas story. That's what this is all about. And we want to remember that. And this is such a precious time in that. And so as we continue tonight, I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. And let's sing one more song together. And such a beautiful song. And I know many times you hear this more as a solo than you do as a group congregational type of song. But what a beautiful song. Let's sing together, O Holy Night. Sing with me tonight.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
Time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. God had this messy plan, a plan to save the world. And to do that, he was going to send his son. Where does the God of the universe send his son? Where does the King of Kings and Lord of Lords come? To a barn, a stable, a manger, of all places. Certainly no place fit for a king. But then again, this wasn't any ordinary king. When I say it was messy, I mean messy. It was a barn, a stable, right? So you've got animals and animal stuff, manure, mud, a pitiful place for people, much less a place for the King of Kings to be born. Why would God do that? Well, I can't tell you for sure, because Isaiah explains to us that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. But that same prophet, 400 years before Jesus was born, said, "All we like sheep have gone astray, each of us to our own way, and that he has laid our iniquities on him." You see, Jesus came to a messy place. Oh, yeah, a barn, a manger, that's messy. But he came to a messy world. Why? Because the shepherd was coming to take care of the sheep, to prepare a way for them to go home. That's what a shepherd does. He lives where the sheep are. He sleeps where they sleep. He eats where they eat. It got Jesus in trouble. Why did Jesus eat with sinners? Because that's what the shepherd does. An angel appeared to the shepherds in the field and said, "This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger." A sign. You ever wondered what that sign was? A sign for what? Maybe a sign that Jesus is accessible to everyone. A sign that the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills can relate to a homeless person. Because Jesus never had a home, never had a place to rest his head. Maybe it was a sign that God would have nothing to do with the social status of mankind. A sign that he detests the splendor of humans because it's not worthy of him. But it was a sign for us that we should follow suit. In fact, the Apostle Paul later on would write, "We should have the same attitude as Christ Jesus, although he was the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but that he made himself nothing, becoming a servant, being made in human likeness." A servant. You see, being a servant is messy. And Jesus set this incredible example for us. I mean, he got down on his knees and he washed feet. The God of the universe, the God who deserved the best of everything, got on his knees. He's the God who came to the world and was laid in a manger, a feed trough of all places. Why such a messy place? Because he was following a messy plan. So needless to say, that very first Christmas was dirty. It was grimy. It was filthy. But thank God it was. Because without it, what a mess we'd be in.
Very thankful for that messy plan that God had in the birth of the Savior. What an amazing plan that he had. God knew exactly what he was doing. You know, to many, this seemed like a strange plan, a baby born in a lowly stable. But this wasn't just any baby. This was Jesus, the very Son of God. John 1:1-5 says this, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It goes on in John in chapter 8, verse 12. It says, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. It goes on in John chapter 12, 46. It says, I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness. From the very beginning, he was the Word, present with God at the beginning. That Word was God. Out of nothing, this Word spoke the universe into being, and everything that exists was created by him. And that creation declares his glory. He is the source of life, and that life gives light to everything. He is the light blazing out of the darkness, the light that can never be extinguished. And all of this fit into God's master plan that the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven and humbly became a man who lived. He died and he conquered death all for you and me. And as that video was talking about, this life is so very messy. And God's plan was not what everyone expected. The birth of that light that I'm talking about completely changed the course of history. Out of the darkness, light. Tonight when you came in, I hope each one of you had gotten a candle. If you didn't get a candle, I want to make sure that you get one. All right? There's some here in the back that we can get for you. And what we're going to do is this. We're just going to have a time of lighting these. And our pastors are going to go down the aisle here in just a minute. And what we're going to do is they're going to start on the end of the row here as they go down. And they're going to light the very first one. And what we're going to do is we're going to pass the light across, not personally pass the candle, but pass that light across one to another. And this symbolizes that light that I talked about in Jesus Christ tonight. And what we ask you to do is they're going to come and they're going to light your candle. They're just going to hold that out. If you'll stick the candle up to that, to the side and light it. And if you'll do the same to the next person beside you, just hold it out and they can light it off of that. Please be mindful with the kids to keep those straight up, hold those still. We definitely don't want anything catching fire or anything tonight. All right. But what a wonderful picture of the light of Christ and what he means. So, pastors, I'm going to ask you if you will. Mark, if you'll come down this way. Donnie's right here. And we're going to begin here. Let these candles remind us of the true meaning of this Christmas season. Well, I ask you, if you will, let's go ahead and stand to our feet. We're just going to simply end our time tonight. Pastor Mark is going to come in a moment and pray. But just to end this time, we just want to sing together, Silent Night. No instruments, nothing but voices here, lifting up our voices, celebrating what God has done. And I'll start with us. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of reason.
redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. One more verse. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light with the angels, let us see. Alleluia to our King, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born.
Father, we thank you for the light that you are, that you came for us, even though we didn't deserve it. I pray that we would be reflections of that light, that in this time, in this season, that we would be bold with the truth that you came to save us, God, that this season that we're celebrating right now is only beautiful and wonderful because you are God, come down to live a life we couldn't live, die a death that we deserved, and to rise again 3 days later. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the faith that you give us through your grace. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
And just as you end tonight, we're going to ask you, there's two metal bins at the back of the door here. If you'll actually, when you get back there, if you want to do it now, you can go ahead and blow out your candle in here and then place those in that metal bin tonight. From all of us here, we want to wish you a very merry, Christ-filled Christmas. Good night.